I was thinking as Norm was reading that of one of the verses in the scripture, which is so remarkable, is that so sure are things. Isaiah 46:10 says that our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, declaring the end. What's the end? When all things are wrapped up, there will be a new creation, and all of God's children will be there. All of the bride of Christ will be there. There will be that great wedding feast, and there will be that rejoicing, and there will be that new creation where we will know each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we will see each other. But most of all, every thought and every moment of all of that time, we will be there without sin, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, he declares, that's the end, isn't it? So, you know, Max is a builder. I've done a bunch of buildings. You know, when you're doing some building, you actually plan and you have a picture in your mind of what you're going to build, even when you're cooking a meal or doing all sorts of other things. We have a plan, don't we? We have a picture of some sort in our mind of what it's going to look like. And then we start. But that picture is always there, isn't it? He's declaring the end from the beginning. As far as God's eternal purposes are concerned, it's all finished. The works were finished from the foundation of the world when he declared it. Declaring from the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, this is God, our great and sovereign God, my counsel, my purpose shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will do it. Then he says, hearken unto me. Just listen. Listen to what God says. So turn back in your Bibles to John chapter 14, and I just wanted to, before we have the Lord's Supper, I wanted to briefly have a look at what it is for the Lord Jesus Christ to declare himself to be the way, and Lord willing, next week we'll look at what it is for him to be the truth and for him to be the life. And I love the definite articles, isn't it? And the Lord says this in response to his statement, where I go, you know the way, and Thomas saith unto him, verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And the Lord brings to us and to his church until he returns, he says unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The way, the truth, and the life. The way is the truth and the life. They're all descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is the way and the life. The life is in the way and in the truth. To have one is to have all. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have it all. To be in the way is to be all the way. If you're in the way, you are all the way there. It speaks the word way means a road or a journey between two points. But if you're in the way, you've already arrived at the destination. There's a reality to come. And the early church was declared for quite some time to be the way. So Paul speaks of he found any of this way. And they spoke, in Acts 19:9, they spoke evil of that way, and there was no small stir about that way. And Paul says he persecuted that way unto death. And he says in Acts 24:14, he says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. To be in the way is to worship God. And one of the ways you know that you're in the way is that the religious, legalistic, self-righteous around you will declare you to be a heretic. It's a badge of honour for the child of God. It's an Old Testament promise, isn't it? He says that John the Baptist's call and commission in Isaiah 40 is, he's the voice of one that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He shall come with a strong hand. He is the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When he comes to the Father, I come to the Father. When he comes to the Father, all his bride comes to the Father. He is the head, we are the body. Some of you walked over and took some of that magnificent watermelon this morning. Did your toe go with you? And the hairs of your head go with you? That's what it is for us to be united to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're one with him. Where he goes, we go. He goes into heaven. We go into heaven. We are eternally, vitally united to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. In a world where there are so many ways, aren't there? There are so many ways. I do love that verse in Jeremiah 6 where the Lord's advice to his people, he says, stand ye in the ways. And that's exactly what people do now, don't they? You stand and there are multitudes of ways that people can go. A multitude of religions you can follow. A multitude of varieties of Christianity you can follow. Thousands and tens of thousands of them. He says, stand ye in all the ways and see. Don't be unthinking and don't be unexamining. You see, and there is a way to examine them, and it's clearly laid out. And he says, ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And walk therein. The old paths are the paths which are everlasting. They disappear into eternity past. And so when we are speaking of the gospel, we're talking about the everlasting gospel, the eternal gospel that goes back as far, that path goes back as far as you can possibly trace, right back to the very counsels of God before the foundation of the world. And it goes all the way to eternity future. And so the stability of the child of God reaches back to eternity and reaches forward to eternity. And so the things here in this little moment, this brief moment of life, are not the big deal at all. It's the things of eternity that matter. And he says, you ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Isn't that lovely? It's called the way of peace. Christ is the way of peace. Peace with God. Peace with our consciences. And listen to what the Jews said in response. Isn't that a glorious instruction from our God? You stand, you've got so many ways around you. All over this world there are so many ways. And they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We will not hear what you say. There is just one way. There is just one way. There is a way. The Lord repeats this twice in Proverbs 14 and 16. There is a way which seemeth right to a man. There is a way. When you talk to people in religion, it doesn't matter what sort of religion it is, you talk to them, that seems right to them, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 7, and so let's try and grasp how serious this whole business is. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. The Lord speaking of this way, speaking of himself being the way. He says, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Lord, make me one of the few. Whatever it takes. Every time I think of all of those ways, I went to India 20-something years ago now, nearly 23 years ago, and I left this religious world that I had spent just a few years in here, and I went to India, and all of a sudden you're on top of a hill in southern India and you're surrounded by Hinduism and Catholicism in mega scales, and you're surrounded by Islam. And then you get to the school, which you would think would be about as close to heaven on earth as you could get, with 70 or 80 missionaries supported by their churches back in all parts of most continents, all continents of the world. And then you're teaching the children of missionaries. Hundreds of missionaries have their children there. And all of a sudden, there were just so many ways. I didn't know how many there were. And I spent a bunch of time pleading with the Lord, just show me what's true. Just show me what's true. I don't care what I have to lose in religion if I'm wrong. If I have learnt something and believe something that's not true, just take it from me. We were responsible for 25 young girls between the age of 12 and 14 in our dorm, and we were charged by the school with the spiritual care of those girls, and they were the children of missionaries and some Indian children. And there I was. That's why I love Jeremiah chapter 6. I was standing in the ways, and I was desperately pleading with the Lord to not cause me or not allow me to be someone who leads these little ones astray, because Matthew chapter 10 says, if you do lead the little ones astray. And I was teaching Mark chapter 10. I was teaching Mark's gospel to students 4 or 5 days a week. And Mark, the Lord says in Mark chapter 10, you're better off having a millstone around your neck and being a corpse in the bottom of the Sea of Galilee than leading one of these little ones astray. I was surrounded by little ones, and I'm so thankful that the Lord dealt with me in grace and mercy. There is a broad road. It's a broad road. He's talking to religious people here, but the road is so broad. It's broad enough for the moral person, isn't it? Then it's broad enough for the immoral person. It's broad enough for the religious person. It's broad enough for the intelligent and the sophisticated. It's broad enough for the lowest of the low and the highest of the high. It's broad enough for the rich and the poor. You can imagine that road. It's a huge, wide road, and it's got a gutter on each side, and up on the height of that road are all these lanes, and the self-righteous walk there proudly in the sunshine and look down on the people in the gutter on the other side. If you're on the broad road, it doesn't matter which part of the road you're on at all. It doesn't matter what part of the road you're on. If you're not in the way, narrow is the way. The way is so narrow that religious people of all varieties throughout the world find it offensive. You make the way to heaven narrow. I didn't make the way to heaven narrow. The Lord Jesus Christ made the way to heaven narrow. People like to think, I was sent something yesterday from about a church in London, and it was talking about how wonderfully inclusive we are. We include all religions and all genders and all types of people, and they were parading the fact that they were inclusive. The Lord Jesus Christ here is declaring that he is exclusive. I am the way, not one among many ways. I am the truth. Personally, he is the truth, and I am the life. And unless you're in him, unless you come in him, you cannot come into heaven. People like the notion, it comforts people, isn't it? And my fleshly desires are the same as yours, I'm sure. We want there to be a broad road. We want there to be an acceptance of all different sorts of things. We want the people that we love to come to heaven. But the reality is, do you want a bridge that's incredibly broad and doesn't get across the river, or do you want a narrow one that reaches all the way across? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. So many people are on that broad road, the way that seems right to them. It's so narrow, the way to heaven. It's so narrow and so straight, it's so constrained, that only accepts Jesus Christ alone. We sing the song, don't we? I wonder sometimes how often people sing songs that actually sing hymns which are profoundly true, but then they would deny the reality of it in their experience. Nothing in my hand I bring. That's a lovely word phrase, isn't it? Simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. I've got nothing. I haven't done a righteous deed ever. There's not one single thing about anything that I have personally done that causes me to have any acceptance with God. I come in Christ alone. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, filthy, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Many are turning up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ even as we speak, and they've done many wonderful works. You can read about them in Matthew chapter 7, and the Lord will not deny their declaration of their wonderful works, and he won't deny their preaching. The road, broad road, is broad enough for preachers to be on. The road is narrow. God has accepted his Son. He has accepted his obedience. He's accepted his faithfulness. He's accepted his offering for sin. To add anything of your doing to what has already been accepted is so offensive to the Father. Imagine the thought that your works somehow can enhance the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your works can be before God somehow equivalent to the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a narrow way. May the Lord burden our hearts with a desire to be on the narrow way. We read it at the beginning of our service, righteousness shall go before us. How do we get in the way? Righteousness shall go before him, Psalm 85, and set us, and shall set us in the way of his steps. How do we get in the Lord Jesus Christ? God the Father puts his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to turn to a couple of passages briefly. I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis is the foundation of all things in the Bible. We cannot spend too much time and praying the Lord opens our eyes to see the things in Genesis. But I want us to see what happens at the end of Genesis 3 and what the description is of this way. So there is in the garden of God the tree of life, and the tree of life is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the only way you can have eternal life is you must get to the tree of life. You must get to the tree of life. But listen to what happened to Adam and Eve. Verse 24, so he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims angelic beings, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. How do you get to the tree of life? You have to go past the flaming sword in the hand of the cherubim. And when they did the curtains in the temple, what did they do? They had a representation of this. There were cherubims embroidered into those curtains. Once again, it was showing that the way in to the tree of life, the way into eternal life, is a narrow way and a restricted way. How do you get to the tree of life? Someone from inside the garden has to come out and take you through that flaming sword. And that's exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Zechariah 13 says, "Awake, O sword, awake, O sword." It's a remarkable verse of scripture. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, slay the shepherd on the cross of Calvary. All of the sins of all of God's people, and all of God's people were in the Lord Jesus Christ and united to him. And the sword of God's justice, this flaming sword, pierced the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand of love upon the little ones." How do you get into the tree of life? What is the way? The way is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ crucified, and him alone. That's how you get to the tree of life. That's the picture that's pictured here before us. I love what Paul described of his conversion and his walk in this world. I've quoted it so many times, and I'm sure you know it, but it's just lovely to read it again, isn't it? He says, this is Paul speaking as being on behalf of all believers. He's a pattern of all believers. He says, "I am," verse 20 of Galatians 2, "I am crucified with Christ." That's what happened, isn't it? That flaming sword crucified all of God's people in Christ. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh," while he's living in this world here, "I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What a glorious, glorious picture that Paul paints there for us. These days, there must be countless multitudes that turn up on that day of judgment, turn up and meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and then say to him, "I was told all of my life that God loves everyone, and Jesus died for everyone." What a horrifying thing for them and that preacher on that day. Peter speaks of the way. He says it's the right way in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. There is just one way, and it's the right way. But he says in verse 21 of that same chapter, he says, "For those who have deserted the way, have forsaken the right way and gone astray," he says, "it's better for them not to have known the way of righteousness." It's best not to know. On the day of judgment, according to Matthew chapter 11, because according to the Lord Jesus Christ's words, it's going to be worse for Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum than it is for Sodom and Gomorrah, because they had more light. it is the right way. It is just a narrow way, and he is that way. I want us to turn to Romans chapter 4. I just love. He says in 2 Peter and in Matthew 21, I think it is, he calls the way of righteousness. What is righteousness? What is righteousness? Lot was declared to be a righteous man, wasn't he? Righteous Lot. What is righteousness? It is nothing less than perfect, holy conformity in heart, soul, and mind to the holy law of God, that God declares the righteous to be perfectly holy in his sight, to have never sinned. Romans 4 is just one of those verses that I am still amazed by how profound it is. He says, he speaks of those who work and want to put God under debt, but in verse 5 he says, but to him, listen to this, this is a description of someone in the narrow way, someone in the way of righteousness, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Isn't that remarkable? To him that worketh not. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. He imparts righteousness and he imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why will he not impute sin? Because that sin's already been imputed to his son, and his son has dealt with it. His son has borne the fire of that sword of the justice of God. What a glorious, glorious gospel we have to proclaim. That's why it's called the way of peace. God's children have peace with God. We have peace with our consciences, don't we? Peace. He was delivered, Romans 4:25, at the end of that chapter. He was delivered for our offences. He was delivered because of our offences and was raised again because of our justification. Therefore, having been, is the best way to say it, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read on, you'll read a description of what it was for you when the Lord Jesus Christ did all this work. It's called in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, a new and living way. We went into the courts of God by a new and living way. That word new means freshly slaughtered. Freshly slaughtered. The blood of Christ is always speaking peace to God's people. The blood of Christ is always there interceding for us. And which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. There is a way. It's a narrow way. It's a constricted way. It's a glorious way for the children of God. In closing, I'll like you to turn with me to one of my favourite passages in the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 35, because the end result of this way is the rejoicing of God's people. And I love, let's start in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 35. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. It's a messianic miracle that only the Lord Jesus Christ did. Open the eyes of the blind. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. We'll hear the gospel. We'll hear the gospel. We'll see. Blind eyes will see, and we'll hear the gospel. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. How good do you have to be in God's presence? As good as God, as holy as God. It's the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, those that wander about, those that are foolish, just like our apostles in John chapter 14, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord, those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price to set them free from captivity, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There's a highway there. The ransomed of the Lord, they'll come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy on their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, a joy and gladness from He who is the way that cannot be taken away. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the fact that there is a Saviour for sinners like us, Heavenly Father. We thank You for the glory that's revealed in His salvation of sinners, the glory that's revealed in Him bearing our sins in His own body on the cross and bearing them under Your wrath, our Father, until they are gone, until there is that great cry of our salvation, "It is finished." The price is paid in full. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we pray that we wouldn't be drawn away to look at all the other ways, but we would have our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the author and the finisher, the one who writes and the one who completes all of our salvation. Cause Your people to come to Zion, Heavenly Father, with singing and joy and rejoicing because of who He is and the fact that He has put us in the way. And for those who are out of the way, Heavenly Father, we pray that You would have mercy upon them and that You call them to cry out, because You have promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make us to call, our Father. We pray in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.